Good morning. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 John, and I know you may have that marked because we've been there a few Sundays, but I think it's very interesting what John is telling us in 2 John and in the epistles of John. So we're going to turn back there this morning to 2 John. Where'd Ashton go? Come here, Ashton. And I know Ashton probably doesn't want to walk up here. He's not the guy that wants to be out front. And we have not rehearsed this. Well, he's got his big old ring on. Everybody need to see that? That's pretty impressive, isn't it? But anyway, I'm going to have Ashton this morning kind of demonstrate maybe something that what we are going to talk about. Karen, do we have the title? Can we hit the title up there? And I want you to see, possibly, maybe. Here we go. Title of the sermon this morning is Ahead or Behind? And I want you to think about that just for a second, ahead or behind. And here's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because Ashton and I have a really good relationship. Do you agree with that? And one of the things that we have a great relationship about is that we're very honest with each other, almost to a point of fault. And so we're going to talk to this morning about truth. But one of the greatest things about truth is that we have to be honest with each other. One of the problems with us as human beings is the reason we don't like truth is because we're afraid we might hurt someone's feelings. And so therefore we really don't say what we feel is true. But one of the beautiful things about truth and when people are telling each other truth is that we don't have to mince words. That we can say honestly what we feel to be the truth because it's the only way we're going to make ourselves better. And once we get to that point in our relationship, then we can honestly tell each other what we feel like is truth. And we don't have to dance around, right? You've been around those people? Boy, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Okay? So here's how our relationship with God goes. And neither one of us are God, but we're going to portray that just a little bit this morning, just so I can demonstrate what ahead or behind means. So if Ashton and I were to take off walking, and we walk in sync, in other words, when my right foot goes, his goes, and we're walking in sync, then we would say that we're walking what? Together. Okay? Now the moment that Ashton slows down, is the moment that I go out in front, you would say Ashton is walking where? Behind. The moment Ashton speeds up and outruns me, you would now say that Ashton is walking ahead. So now you see ahead or behind. Thanks, Ashton. And so my question to you this morning is, are you walking ahead of God? Are you walking behind God? Are you walking alongside God? Because there's a distinct difference if you're walking ahead or if you're walking behind or if you're walking with. Now think about this. When you take your teenager into Walmart, into the grocery store, they'll generally outrun you. They do not want to be seen with mom and dad. Mom and dad is a complete embarrassment to a teenager, right? They just are. Now think about your younger child when you walk into an amusement park. They sprint ahead of you to get to the next ride. And you're trying to do all you can do to catch them, to grab their hand. When you go to the airport and you're getting ready to get on a plane, they're going to seat first class first. They're going to go ahead of you. Or at least me, because I've never gotten to sit in first class. So they seat everybody ahead of me. I'm usually on the wing, you know, the only one that'll say he'll pull the wind out when the plane's going down. So they get to go ahead of me. They've paid more money, and their privilege is to board the plane ahead of me. You know, life is full of those times when someone is going to get ahead of you. But life is also an opportunity when I'm the one that may get ahead of you. Or someone else. I may file my taxes later than you, but get my refund before you do. I may order my food after you do, and I may get my food before you do. The waitress took my order last, and I get my food first. But what John is telling us this morning in 2 John is to warn us that there is one person we better not be too far behind, and there is one person that we better not be too far ahead, and that person's name is Jesus. And what John is saying this morning is, it is dangerous to anyone that is not walking alongside of Jesus. So let's look in our Bibles this morning. We're going to read two verses, and then we're going to come back to a couple of other verses. But we're going to start in 2 John, and we're just going to look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist." Now in verse 7, John's telling us that these deceivers who have gone out into the world and have spread their false doctrines, we know that these Christians have fallen victims to these false doctrines, to what they're teaching. And what's the primary purpose for spreading false doctrine? What's the primary purpose of someone that is involved in your life that is a non-Christian? What is their primary purpose? Now, it may not be something that they're trying to do, but their primary purpose of a false doctrine or someone that's not a Christian is to help you fall behind in your walk with God, to slow you down. It's simply to slow down the Christian so that we will be behind in our walk with Jesus. And in the Old Testament, there's plenty of examples. But in the book of Numbers, the Moabite king sent his women to the camp of the Israelites, and he let them mingle around with the Israelites. And so at that point, these men began to follow these false gods. And the result is that they fell behind in their walk with God. False doctrine always causes you and I, causes someone to fall behind in their walk with God. It makes you slow down. And then look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "Everyone who goes on what? Ahead. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. But whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and Son." So now John's warning us of that one who is running ahead of God. Remember Moses. Moses ran ahead of God. He spent 40 years in the backside of the wilderness learning how costly it was to run in front of God. So if there are problems walking behind God, and we know that there are problems running ahead of Christ, it makes sense, to me at least, that the only place of safety is walking alongside of Christ. So the question this morning is, are you walking with Jesus? The question I have to ask myself this morning is, Billy, are you walking alongside of Christ? And so I need to have confidence in knowing that I am walking with Jesus. And you say, Billy, how do you know that? How do you know if I'm behind or ahead? How do I know if I have confidence in that I'm walking with Jesus? So let's try to build some of that confidence by examining some of the characteristics that I believe tell us that we're walking alongside of Christ. So first this morning, walking with Jesus begins with my agreement with Him to what He's doing in my life. It begins with my agreement to what He's doing in my life. In the book of Amos, the third chapter in the third verse, it says, do two people walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Do two people agree? Do two people do things together unless they've agreed to do so? Today, right now, there's somebody in this room that's angry at God because you don't like what's happening in your life. And so therefore, you're angry at God. And then at that point, you're probably not walking with God. You've probably fallen behind God. You're probably walking behind God. Today, maybe there is someone in this room that believes that you can fix every problem in your life. You are a fixer. And that's human, isn't it? We all think we can fix things, and then finally when we can't fix them, we turn on the prayer life, right? But we like to fix things. And today, maybe you are that fixer, and you have finally come to a point where, Billy, I can't fix it. But right now in your life, because you are a fixer, you're walking ahead of God. You're out in front of God. You're outrunning God, trying to fix the things that maybe only God can fix. Walking with God means simply this: when He moves in my life, I move. When He moves in my life, I move. I don't tell God that I'm not ready when He tells me to move. When He gives me instructions, I go. I do what He asks me to do without fighting Him, without questioning Him. And I do it without hesitation because I'm walking alongside of God. Walking with God means that when He stops, what? I stop. When He stops, I stop. I stop and wait for God. So that when He moves, I move. When He stops, I stop. Sometimes God's going to sit you down. You know what He's going to do? It's just like athletics. God's going to sit you on the bench. And He's going to tell you to wait until I have instructed you, until I have taught you something. And so that's where the patience comes in. There are sometimes He's just going to sit you down and let you grow. And He's going to let you or give you instruction before you can move forward. And even at that point, I must be in agreement with God as to what He's doing in my life, even if I'm sitting on the bench waiting. I don't know about you, but I've sat on the bench. And I've waited for what God wants to do. Many of you have done the same. But if we don't watch it in our life, when God wants us to sit on the bench and let Him grow us, we'll keep going. And that's not what He's called us to do. That's not what He wants us to do. I know God knows best. And I will agree with God about where He has me at this point in my life. And so, therefore, if He says, Billy, you need to speed up. You need to catch me. Billy, you need to slow down. Billy, sit down. All of those points in our life. Secondly, walking with Jesus means that I cannot keep my distance from God's people in my life. In 2 John, in the same book, if you'll just look at verses 5 and 6, which we've read the last couple of Sundays, but verse 5 and 6, it says, "And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk together according to the commandments, that is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that we should walk in it." What is the commandment? That we love one another. So walking with Jesus means that I cannot keep my distance from God's people. God's people in my life. You see, as you study the life of Jesus, one thing that becomes very evident and very evident to me is that He did not distance Himself from His followers. He always had the disciples with Him, and if nothing else, the inner circle of these disciples, and many times besides the disciples, were a great gathering of these followers that surrounded Jesus. They wanted to be around Him. In fact, the only times that I can recall in the Bible that Jesus was alone was when He went away privately to talk with His Father. And if you were to ask me why I shouldn't keep my distance from other Christians, my answer would be to you that Jesus didn't keep His distance from His followers. He didn't try to separate from the people that he loved. And he commands us not to distance ourselves from fellow believers. We need each other. We need each other even when times are good. We need each other. We need to be able to lean on each other. Let me tell you something. When we stop associating with other Christians, when we stop worshiping with other Christians, when we stop praying for other Christians, when we stop partnering with other Christians, we are not walking with Christ. We're not. Oh, we might deceive ourselves into thinking, you know what, I am walking to Jesus, with Jesus. Oh, I get my dose of that TV preacher. I get my weekly dose. I watch the guy on TV. I watch him preach. I still pray some. I still read my Bible on my own. But listen, folks, you are deceived if you believe that. Now, I'm not saying those preachers on TV aren't good. I listen to some of them. But that's not my dose. You are deceived if you think that is your dose, that I can get my due on the radio or on the TV, because you cannot get around the fact that it is necessary, it is biblically instructed that we need to walk with other believers in order to be walking with an Almighty God. It's His commandment to us. So we can't afford to isolate ourselves from other Christians. And if so, then you again would be walking behind the Lord, not with the Lord. Thirdly, this morning, walking with Jesus means that I have to take the trash out of my life and I have to replace it with truth. Trash versus truth. This is where it gets sticky for us. Wouldn't it be so nice if my trash was the same Jesus called trash and that if my truth was the same thing Jesus called truth? But I got a feeling, and I can only speak for my life, I can't speak for yours, but I got a feeling there are some things in my life Jesus calls trash. And I need to dispose of it. Right? There's probably some things in my life that He's not calling, boy, that's truth. Notice verse 4. I greatly rejoice, or rejoice greatly, to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And that word truth is so deep. But verse 4 says only some are walking in the truth, and we've talked about this before, which means there are a bunch that weren't. Or there are others that were not. That means the others had allowed the world to come into its life with its values and its ideas to greatly shape who I become. We've talked about this before. You are who you hang around. You will become who you hang around. Hang around somebody that curses, you'll begin cursing. Hang around somebody that smokes or is drugs, you'll end up doing that. You will become who you hang around. So it's very important that we hang around people that are followers of Christ, because that's who I want to be. And I know you do too. So we need to hang around the people that we want to become. But the truth is that to some extent, all of us have the world in us. All of us have something in us that is of the world. And sometimes we have a little too much of it in us. And it's those times that we need to throw out the trash and accept the choice of accepting the truth. And that's hard. We just talked about it a moment ago of what is truth. You know, one of my definitions of positive, people say, hey, well, you want a positive culture, atmosphere. And one of my definitions of positive is honesty. Because being positive to me is telling the truth. Even when the truth hurts. That we don't have to mince words. That we don't have to play around the, I'm not worried about hurting your feelings, you hurting mine. We're just talking about truth. And to me, that's positive. To some people, they would say, oh, that's negative. That's negative because of the way you handle that, or because it's black and white, or because it's whatever. But to me, part of being positive is just simply being honest. Those times that we have to throw out that trash and make a choice to accept the truth. But unfortunately, sometimes we cannot distinguish which is which. There are some times in our life we can't distinguish the trash from the truth because we're allowing the trash into our lives. And that's why it'd be so amazing if we could call trash what God calls trash and we could call truth what God calls truth. Allow too much trash in your life, and I can assure you that you're not walking with God. You're separated from God. That trash, also known as sin. Trash will never allow you to walk with Jesus. Now that's a simple statement, but it's something you need to write down. Trash will never allow you to walk with Jesus. Only truth will. Only truth will allow you to walk alongside of Jesus. Fourth this morning, walking with Jesus means that God's presence is all over your life and you and others can sense it. Look at verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. From God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son, in truth and in love. Now listen, verse 3 is not a prayer. Verse 3 is not a prayer for God to grant you grace, mercy, and peace in your life. Rather, it is a statement of certainty. That's what John's saying. John says that these attributes from God will be with you. Why? Because you are walking with the Lord. Because you are walking with the Lord, you will then have grace, you will then have mercy, and you will then have peace. It's when you're walking with God, you sense His presence in your life. I sense His mercy. I sense His grace. I sense His presence. It's when I am not walking with God, I can't sense anything. I don't even know where God is. I can't feel God. I can't see God. I can't hear God. And I surely can't sense God in my life. Anybody been there? Amen? Yes. I've been there more times than I want to count, where I don't even know where God is. When I can call on God, I can't even see where God is. I don't even know where He is. Where I've had to say, God, where are You? Because I've walked so far ahead of Him, or I've stayed so far behind Him, He's not even a visual anymore. We've all been there. Walking with God, when you sense His presence in your life, have a decision come up in your life and God's not around, and know how uncomfortable you'll be. When there's no clear picture of what you're supposed to be doing. That's why in life, my dad used to say, if there's not a tornado in your life, there's one coming around the corner and you better be prepared for it. But that's why sometimes in our lives, it takes a tornado in our lives to drop us to our knees and to find out if we're behind or ahead God. It takes something crazy to happen. We lose our money, we lose our house, we lose our job, we lose our wife. Something like that happens, and then we fall to our knees and say, oh God, where are You? It's when we're walking alongside God and we're step by step and step by step, and His presence is right there with me because I can sense it. I can feel it. I see the grace and the mercy and the peace that's poured all over my life, and I don't deserve it. But it's when I get ahead or get behind is when I can't sense Him anymore. I don't know where He's at. I don't feel that grace and mercy. I don't feel that peace. You been there? Sure you have. You can only sense that when you're walking with Him, alongside Him, beside Him. And we have people in the church, and in every church, not just second, but in every church, that want to walk out in front of God. In other words, they're trying to do God's job. And it's all about me, you know, and we're going to do this and this and this. No. Walk with God. God will align everything you need And then there are some people in the church, and here's where I think most of us fall, is we walk behind God. And we wait on somebody else to do what God wants us to do because that's too much time or work or effort. So we'll just stay back here behind God and we'll just walk a little bit slower and we'll see what God opened the door for. And then when God opens the door, we'll decide at that point whether we want to walk through it or not. No. John says walk with God. Walk right beside Him, step for step. We're going to go through this transition, and you know what God may say? God may say, hey dudes, sit on the bench and let me grow you and let me teach you and let me show you what I want to show you. He also may say, hey, let's speed up right here. Let's speed up. I've already got you, dude. I'm ready. But we got to be walking alongside of Him to know what God wants for our lives. Not ahead of Him, not behind Him. So today as I close, there's really only one question for you. And the question is, not necessarily are you walking with God, because I would think many of us say, yes, we're walking with God. My question would be for you this morning is, are you walking alongside God? Are you step for step with God? Not are you behind Him, not are you ahead of Him, but are you walking in sequence with God? And that you know you are. That's my question this morning. And that if you're not walking alongside of God, that you would make that commitment this morning. And that you would get the trash out of your life or the thoughts out of your life or whatever it is, the fixer that you are, and that you would turn it back over to God and that you would get in sync with what God wants for your life. Maybe you'd admit this morning that I'm walking way ahead of God. Maybe you'd admit I'm way behind. And I need to catch up. But that's the question you must answer this morning. Am I walking alongside of an Almighty God? Or am I behind Him or ahead of Him? Where am I? So as you examine your life this morning, I would ask you that question. If you'll bow with me right where you are, this morning. And we would ask that question, God, am I walking alongside of You? And maybe this morning you would, right there where you are, you know that you're ahead of God or you're behind God, or maybe you know you're not where you need to be. And you would say, you know what, Billy? I want you to pray with me about this. That we'd be prayer partners. And if that's you this morning, we're not talking about who's saved and who's not. We're talking about where we are in our life. We're talking about if we're in sequence with God. And you'd say this morning, you know, Billy, maybe I'm a little behind or maybe I'm a little ahead. But I want you to pray alongside of me of where I could be in sequence with God. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to embarrass you. You just lift your eyes to me. I'll pray alongside of you. God bless 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 you. Thank you. God bless you. God sees. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God, Father God, thank You for this opportunity this morning. Father, eyes all over this room that are seeking an opportunity again to walk with You in sequence. And Father, they know that they're behind or ahead. They know that. And they're reaching to You this morning saying, Father, I know I'm ahead or behind. But Father, I just want to walk alongside of You. And God, thank you for their honesty. Thank you for you penetrating and convicting them this morning that they could be honest. And Father, now may we react to that. May they respond to that. May they turn a direction. May they walk alongside of you. May that be the commitment this morning. Father, thank you for piercing our hearts. Thank you for loving us. And Father, thank you. And thank you again for walking alongside of us and letting us experience your grace and your mercy and your peace when we're so undeserving. Thank you for that. Father, as we head to this time of invitation and we sing praises to you, Father, may someone in this room respond to something you have said or done with them this morning. Whether that be here or whether that be outside these walls, and they go respond to your calling. We'll give you the honor and praise. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to have this time.